We hope you enjoy listening to this message from Huntingdonshire Community Church. To find out more about us, visit our website at hccuk.org.
So, good to be with you this morning, and nice to renew company with many old friends, and lovely to meet those of you that perhaps have recently started attending the church as well. Good to see you here, and I pray that this will be a real good spiritual home and base for you in the coming days. So as you just heard, for those of you who don't know us particularly, Julie and I now live up in the far north of Scotland, which is different. We live in a community of about 1,000 people, which means that more or less everybody either knows everybody or is related. In fact, we're seriously considering whether we ought to change our name from Matthews to McKay or Mackay, just to blend in with the locals a little bit more. But we're absolutely loving our life there and making many, many new friends. We really felt that in, if you like, the third section of our lives, we wanted to go and put our foot on some new ground, some new territory, a whole different place, and just once again say to the Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. When God called us here to Huntingdon to do that, and the church here was planted, and other churches around East Anglia and then other churches around the world, it was our privilege to serve this area and so on for many years. And so we're just excited at seeing how this next leg of our journey is going to unfold. Please, if you are inclined to pray for us, just pray that exactly that, that his kingdom will come and his will be done. We're currently attending a local, what they call Church of Scotland, which is kind of a cross, I'd describe it, between maybe the Methodist Church and the Church of England, if that kind of means anything to you. It's a church that probably for the Church of Scotland is quite progressive, which means that we're singing the songs that many of us here were singing about 30 years ago. And for them that is absolutely revolutionary. Some love it and some hate it. But for us, it's absolute bliss, because it's like we walk in and, oh, we know all these songs, and, you know, we very easily engage. So we're really enjoying that aspect, getting to know the church community there, and just seeing, as I say, how God is going to use us in that particular area and in Scotland in general. Obviously, we won't go into the politics of Scotland and England. Stephen Crawley's the man to talk to. I was thinking actually that Stephen Caron ought to move back to Scotland and Stephen ought to become a politician. Am I prophesying or am I just speaking wishfully? I don't know.
I've got my own, I think.
Well, if I can't convince you, maybe I can convince somebody else. Yeah, so there we are. Anyway, it's an interesting time to be alive, isn't it, in terms of what's happening in the world? My goodness, we've seen a lot. Who would have thought we would have had President Trump on the scene just a couple of years ago? And again, I won't go into the politics of that. I always tried to pride myself that in my sort of public speaking and preaching, I've always tried to navigate politics fairly carefully. That doesn't mean I don't have some strong political views, but respecting the fact that in any congregation there are people with all sorts of different views. We certainly live in a time of great change and lots of things being shaken. And I think the next 10, 20, 30 years are going to be fascinating to see how the world's story unfolds. And that leads me nicely, as any good news reader does, into talking about my theme this morning, Tim has kindly given me the liberty to speak on whatever I want. And when I was praying for this gathering a couple of weeks ago and sat down to prepare, I felt very clearly that the Lord just led me to a very simple theme to talk about this morning, which I'm sure is going to be significant, certainly for some of you as individuals and perhaps for you corporately. And that is to talk about stories. Stories. Life is a story. Do you like stories? You know, some like reading them in books. Some like watching movies. I'm a movie person rather than a book person. Julia kind of gets on with both. We went to see La La Land yesterday, and I now know why it's called La La Land, because it sends you to sleep. It was so boring. No, it wasn't that bad. But anyway, that is another story. So life is all about stories, films, books, soaps, etc. I like telling stories. When I was in school as a child, terrible marks for spelling and writing, but brilliant marks for my imagination. And part of what we've been doing this past week is enjoying visiting our 9, we've now clocked up, grandchildren that live in this sort of general part of the world. And so we've had a great time catching up with our grandchildren this past week. And one of the things I love to do, and one of the things they always sort of grab granddad the moment I'm in the door, is granddad, tell us a story, tell us a story. I've developed over the years this imaginary character called Henry, who is a mouse. And Henry lives in my left hand pocket. And whenever I meet with the grandchildren, they want to know the latest saga in Henry's life, the latest story. And these stories are always absolutely ridiculous. They involve sort of pink budgies with 6 legs and all sorts of peculiar things. So I don't know who enjoys it most, the grandchildren or me, but I love telling stories, and I enjoy a really good story. And, you know, every one of us, our life is a story. There is that which has already happened, the part that's already taken place. There is that which is happening, and there is that part of the story that is as yet to unfold. And working as a minister, I think one of the things I have enjoyed the most over my 45, 46, whatever it is, years of ministry, is the privilege of working with people, and working with people from such an incredible spectrum of life. You know, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, everybody and anybody, and just the privilege of being able to be involved in people's story, their journey, their story, and to listen to their story, and to learn from their story, to laugh with them in their story, and to cry with them in their story. And that's what it's all about, being involved with people. There are, of course, true stories, and there are false stories. Fake news is going to be, you know, a new term that we're now getting used to, that Mr. Trump has introduced us to. So there are true stories and there are false stories. There are happy stories and there are sad stories. And probably in life's journey and in our overall story, as individuals, any community, there is always a mix of those ingredients, isn't there? There are happy parts to our story and there are sad parts to our story, you know? And that's life's journey. That's the bigger picture, the bigger story. The Bible, of course, is a story. In the beginning, God created. How many know what the very last words, no cheating now, no looking, how many know what the very last words in the storybook are? In other words, Revelation chapter 22, whatever it is, verse 20-something, I think it is. Anybody know?
Amen.
Yes, there's an amen. Yes. Somebody want to look it up and read it for me? Very quickly. The very last verse in Revelation. So we know the beginning. I always like to say I've read the end of the book, so I know what happens. I know how this thing turns out, which is... Yeah, the last verse or two. Last verse. Yeah.
He who testifies for thee soon says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Yes. So I've always loved that bit about I'm coming quickly. You know, written a couple of thousand years ago. He's obviously not in a rush. His time scale is not quite the same as our time scale sometimes, is it? And that's one of the things we have to learn in life's journey, isn't it? I'm certainly one of those people that wants everything done yesterday, and so not over abundant impatience, and had to learn that actually God has a time, and it will happen, you know, in his time. So the Bible is full of different stories. The moment we say the Bible is a story, of course, it evokes the danger. We're into this, well, there are true stories and there are false stories. We happen to believe, I trust, that the Bible is a true story and that the stories in it are true stories. But it is a series. It's a combination of stories, both about individuals, about nations, and their journey, their history. History, is a story. Looking back to the past, I don't know whether any of you are Trekkies, whether any of you like... Star Trek and all of those sort of characters, and I've just managed to close my notes file. Try again. That's it. Any Trekkies here? Any Spock?
Okay, guilty, you know, charged.
Yes, guilty as charged. It's just you and me, by the looks of it. You know, you know, sci-fi is a story, sort of fantasizing or dreaming about the future, etc. So there's past and present stories. So, stories. What's your story like? You know, if we said this morning, well, could you stand up and tell us your story in 5 minutes? Great to hear that you're thinking afresh as a church about reaching out to others. And probably the most powerful thing that we have to touch the life of others is very simple. It's our story. Our story. You know, the old-fashioned thing of attract, give somebody a tract. Actually, the most powerful tract that we can ever give anybody is a bit of our story. Both its joys and its sadnesses, and about how we have found Christ in the midst of all of those, his sustaining love and power and focus through the good times and the difficult times. I think that is one of the most powerful ingredients that we have. So your story, how do you feel this morning about your story? If we were to reflect, you know, on our individual stories, I'm sure much of what I've already said would be true, that there would be things that we would feel very happy about our past story, and there would be some things that we would feel sad about our past story. There'd be things that we would feel mad about our past story, and there would be things that we would feel perhaps indifferent about. Our story, each one of us, again, would be a mixture of all sorts of ingredients. Now, for those who like a sermon to have some content and some good biblical content and some good theological content, I'm about to press your button, hopefully, with one of the, in a sense, old questions that I think rolls round and round, but is really so big and so important. And it's, let me phrase it this way, is our story an inevitable pre-planned story, or is it something that we can actually write stroke change? So in theological terms, I'm talking about free will as opposed to predestination. Yeah? Free will as opposed to predestination. Is your future already written and basically you're in God's hands, whatever it's going to be, you know, as the old song goes, whatever will be, will be. You know, is it that? Or is your future yet to actually be written, and can you change what that story is going to look like? We'll now have a vote of which of those two it is. No, I'm teasing you. Because straight away that question would throw all of us, me included, into some sort of dilemma of, good question. Good question. Is it pre-settled? Is it this plan that God has ordained, and no matter what I do or say, what will be is going to be? Or is it something that I can shape, change, etc.? So I'm excited this morning. My book isn't finished. My story isn't finished. You know, there's a few chapters, I'm trusting, to be written as yet. And I'm excited about what's going to be written in those chapters. I'm excited about what the end of the book is going to look like and sound like. And if I'm honest, I don't know the answer to those questions. If there's one thing that we do learn in life, it is that you never quite know what's around the next corner, do you? Life is full of surprises. It can take some interesting twists and turns. And if nothing else, I'd like to just try and inject into your heart afresh this morning some fresh passion about your future, about your destiny, that it is as yet to unfold. It is as yet to be written, whether it is already written somewhere, predestination or free will, you know, whichever it is. We've yet to discover it. We've yet to live it. I love the saying, and it's one I've used a lot over the years, and I often say to people, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Is there an amen in the house to that? You know, I want to prophesy that over your life this morning. The best is yet to come. Some great things are yet to come. So, can we change where we were born, who our parents were? Many a teenager wishes the answer to that one was yes. Who our teachers were, our, you know, what country we are born in, what culture we're born in. There are some fundamental things like that when we think about our past story that we cannot change, can we? It is not within our power, within our ability to change certain things. But there are other things going forwards, and even to do with the past, that are within our power to change, which I believe will play a part in what our future story looks like and sounds like and how it unfolds. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel, and if any of you have ever thought about this name, Plumline Ministries International, the network of churches, how do we come up with the name Plumline? Well, those who know me know that one of my passions of life and in ministry has been the word balance. That I see so often, Christians especially, go off into extremism in one direction or another, in all sorts of directions. And I'm a great believer in balance. And I don't know how you feel, but I feel that an area where balance is so very important is around the sort of positive thinking perspective that would say, and perhaps our American friends, cousins, whatever we like to call them, are particularly strong on this sort of message. You can become anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. You can achieve anything you want to achieve. Now, I think those sort of statements require, you know, a very balanced sort of response to. Because on the one hand, I totally agree, but on the other hand, I totally disagree. I think that there's got to be a balanced response to that sort of outlook. I once heard somebody say, Americans need the British and the British need the Americans because the Americans are optimists and the British are pessimists. And there's probably a little bit of truth in that. That is why nations do need each other. I do think that there are traits, not only in individuals, not only in families, but also in nations, you know, in communities. And we are good for each other. So the positive thinking, you can be anything, you can do anything, you can become anything. I think that is a great thing to be sowing, especially into the hearts and minds of the young in terms of potential and growing and not having a negative, pessimistic, you know, outlook on life and of yourself and so on. And yet at the same time, it can become a huge pit into which people fall and end up feeling very disappointed and disillusioned and give up, you know, on whatever in their life because it didn't work out how they'd hoped. And so there is a very fine balance to be struck there. How much, you know, we're grappling with this thing. How much can we change our future? How much can we affect this story that is as yet to be written and unfolded? What we can change is how we respond to things. And those who have listened to me preach for many years or have heard me say this many times, the old quote, life is 90%, is 10% to do with what happens to you and 90% to do with how you respond to what happens to you. How we respond to things will determine very often whether those things end up as positive or negative. We can be enslaved to patterns of thinking and behavior and outcomes in our life because of our roots, because of our DNA, because of where we were born, because of who our teachers were, the environment that we grew up in. All those sorts of things affect us and we can be enslaved by them. And this is where the gospel is so gloriously powerful. And my principal text for this morning is that well-known and well-trodden one of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And this is the power of the gospel. This is the good news that we have to take to people, that Christ can change lives. He can break patterns, you know, that are there from our background, from our upbringing, things that would be, in a sense, potentially a curse over us. He can break those things and set us free and take us into a new place of thinking and a new place of responding. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we've experienced that. And that's what we want other people to be able to experience. We can't rewrite the past. When we think about the history part of our story, the past, we can't rewrite it. We can't relive it. I think one of the things that's often grieved me is when I encounter people who are trying to relive the past in order to do it differently. And actually, you can't relive the past. You know, what's been has been. And we can't necessarily change all of the past. There are some things that we might be able to change. Again, sometimes I've encountered people who are living their life out of a sense of guilt or frustration and trying all the time to change what went wrong in the past. And it seems to me that there are certain things that we actually have to say, well, you know what? Yeah. That happened.
Yeah.
I'm sad that happened, but I've got to let go of it and move on.
True.
I'm not going to let it determine my future. I'm not going to live under the curse of that. What we can do is, and I love that prayer that Jesus told us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it seems to me that one of the biggest keys in terms of dealing with the past is finding forgiveness ourselves. Do you know that you're forgiven? I don't know what things you regret in your story, but I thank God that I stand here this morning and I don't feel ashamed or wretched, because I know that I've been forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus, and the past, you know, my mistakes, he forgives me for, and hopefully I can learn something from. So what we can do is we can lay hold of forgiveness for ourselves, and also we can forgive others. So that again, we're not living our life out of the past hurt and carrying that past hurt. Sometimes there are very deep, meaningful, hurtful things in terms of relationships. It may be a divorce. It may be people that have been very close to us, that we've trusted, that either we let them down or they let us down, and there's been very deep hurt. And sometimes we just have to let go of those things. And again, know forgiveness ourselves and give forgiveness and move on from that. We can't live the future constantly trying to put right the past. Are you with me? I think that's so very important. If the chapters of our life that are as yet to be written are going to be blessed once. Christ came to set us free. Hallelujah. From our own mistakes, our own failures, and to enable us, to empower us to forgive others. And you know what, when it comes to forgiving others, sometimes, well, I think the majority of times, that's just something that we have to deal with ourselves. I've kind of had occasions over the years as a minister where somebody that I've sought to serve in one of our congregations has come to me and said, Simon, I just want you to know that I forgive you for, and they reel off something or a string of somethings that they feel that I've done that has hurt or disappointed them somewhere on the journey. And I may not have had a clue that that was the case. All that actually happens is that that person offloads their pain to try and give somebody else a problem. I think that forgiveness often is something that we have to deal with in ourselves, between ourselves and God. Obviously, if the person knows, you know, if we've had a blazing row and we need to go back to them and say, I remember not my finest moment in life. There was somebody that really rattled me one day. Happened in one of the rooms in this building. Because he was criticising heavily another member of our staff. And I just said, you know, I feel like coming across and punching you in the mouth. That wasn't my finest pastoral moment. I'm not sure he ever quite managed to forgive me for that. So how did I get onto that? There are things that we have to simply deal with internally in terms of forgiving, and not just try and lay a problem onto somebody else. I'd like to kind of suggest this to you today. Christ empowers us not to be something that we were not born to be, but to be the very best that we were born to be. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to who's doing the survey?
Yeah, Richard.
Richard, before the service. He's doing a master's in church growth or something. That's why you've got that questionnaire. And so we were talking about different sorts of churches, and I've had the privilege of working with big churches, little churches, medium-sized churches, all sorts of styles and shapes and so on, churches over the years. And when it comes to very large churches, I was saying to him that in my view, it's probably only about 5% of church leaders that will ever see a very, very, very large congregation, because it takes a very unique type of character, personality and gift mix to lead a very large organization, whether that be a church, a business or a nation. And it's probably only 5% of leaders that fall into that sort of bracket. And so one of the things I've found, I've done a lot of and continue to do a lot of in working with church leaders in mentoring and offering help and advice, and people in other walks of life, is trying to help them to rightly assess who they are and what they're destined to be, so that they will aspire and they will push and they will fight and they'll give every bit of energy that they have got to become what they were meant to be, but so that we won't spend our life trying to be something that we were never destined to be. Are you with me? When you think about your past story, is it a story of successes? Is it a story of disappointments? Probably for most of us, it's a bit of a mixture of the two. Well, if there's something to learn from the disappointments, it's let's not be striving to become something that we weren't destined to be. But equally, let's not be put under the curse of failure because we got it wrong once or twice. Failure can be our stepping stones to success. Let's rise up with fresh passion and say, I am going to become all that I have been called, destined, created to be. So my view is, yes, there is a divine story written out there in heaven for my life. There is a divine plan. And I want to do my best to be in that plan, to be a part of that plan, to fulfill all that I was called to be. Now, the decisions that we make on a daily basis, on an annual basis, the decisions that we make and take actually play a huge part in determining our story. Yeah? Whilst we believe that Christ can dramatically change lives and change circumstances, it would be so nice if we could come forward and get hands laid on us and pow, right, now it's all going to come together and you're going to live in God's perfect, wonderful plan for your life, and everything is going to be successful and hunky-dory. If only it was as simple as that. Yes, we can get prayed for, but you know what? Then we've got to go away and make the right decisions tomorrow. And the right decisions the day after. And the right decisions the month after. I think of two of the decisions that I've made in my life that are probably the two biggest decisions that I've ever made in my life that have been absolutely crucial to what I am blessed and enjoying in life right now. I expect most of you can guess what those two decisions have been. One, as a 15-year-old, asking Christ to come into my life. A bit of my story, for those of you who don't know me, is so I left school at the age of 15, having failed an exam to see if I could stay on and take any exams. I went into working in agriculture. I could barely read and write, I think it's fair to say. And yet when Christ came into my life, it wasn't that I didn't have a brain, it's just that my brain had not really been engaged. I hadn't used it. I hadn't learnt to use it. And one of the big changes that Christ made in my life was that he gave me a passion to learn. A passion to learn, you know? Whereas previously, I hadn't had a passion to learn. And so one of the key, you know, things in my life becoming what God wanted it to be, and for somebody who had left school at the age of 15 with no qualifications, etc., to end up writing books, planting churches, pastoring, inputting people in leadership, in business, in church, in politics, in all sorts of arenas, I think, wow, God, you can do amazing things. You know, we think of the five loaves and the two fishes feeding thousands. Yes, Lord, you can do an incredible amount with a very little. Hallelujah. Isn't that encouraging? Your little, my little. If we will lay it on the table, like the little boy with his loaves and fishes, the Lord can do absolutely incredible things with it. And have you guessed it? The second biggest decision that I made in my life that affected my life. She's sitting right there. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And Julia was just 12 years old when I first spotted her and started chatting her up. 12 years old, that's scary, parents, isn't it? And her dad wouldn't let me actually take her out till she was 13 years old. Wise dad. Cool. Dear. And so I was courting Julia officially from the age of 13. And boy, I didn't know it at the time. I mean, talk about divine guidance. Talk about stumbling in God's amazing grace into something good. Little did I know what I was buying into, you know, when Julie and I started courting and when I first asked her out. But clearly has been, you know, I would have to say the second biggest, best decision that I ever made. That's why I always like to say to young people when I'm talking to them, you know, make your choice carefully. Make your choice carefully. You know, seek God's grace and wisdom in that choice. And I'm sure, you know, those of you here who've been through the painful process of the breakdown of relationships, and you know all too well, you know, how even if you do choose the right person, that can sadly still go wrong. But it's something to be really saying, Lord, help me, guide me in that big choice. But boy, am I thankful for all the blessing to have a woman of such wisdom and commitment and loyalty to him, to me, to the call that I've been called to. I have been so incredibly blessed. And so just in little things like, well, not little things, but, you know, two decisions that I made in my life that actually have dramatically, I think to myself, what would my life have been like? What would my story have been if I hadn't found Christ? And what would my story have been like if I hadn't found Julia? Wow. You know, doesn't bear thinking about as far as I'm concerned. But I say that just as a little bit of my story. and to illustrate how very important, not every decision we make, thank God, every day of the week is quite as big as those two decisions, is it? But it highlights how decisions that we make can dramatically affect the outcome of our journey, of our story. So, to wind this up, celebrate your story. Celebrate your story. Don't try to pretend that there aren't some moments that you are sad and ashamed of, but forgiven for, like me wanting to punch a guy in the mouth and telling him, you know, which wasn't very good. But celebrate the past story. Like I say, that there's so much there to rejoice in. But in terms of the future, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a destiny for you. Yes, there is a story that's written, but you making the right decisions, making sure that you've dealt with the past, forgiveness yourself, forgiving others, and then making those right decisions going forwards. Ask Christ to empower you to be, to fulfill all that you were destined to be. So your chapters, just looking around the audience here this morning, you know, some of us perhaps have got 5 chapters left to be written. Some of us have perhaps got 15 chapters left to be written. Some of us perhaps have only got 1 or 2 chapters left to be written. But let's settle. Lord, I want my future story to be one in the centre of your plan and purpose. I don't want to live in the past, be overshadowed by the past. I want to let go of the mistakes. I want to forgive and be free. I don't want to be dictated to by past issues. And Lord, I want wisdom to press forward to make the right decisions. Let's just close our eyes to pray together for a moment. You have a great story yet to fully unfold. And I'd just like to give opportunity in closing this message this morning that if there are those of you that say, do you know what? There are some things to do with my past story that I feel I haven't really fully dealt with. I haven't really found forgiveness myself, or I haven't really forgiven others, or I've allowed certain things just to become like a curse and a weight to me. And I want to ask the Lord to forgive me and set me free from those past things this morning. And I'd like to just pray for those who identify with that, and also those who might say, maybe one or the other or both of these things, those also who would just like to say this morning afresh, Lord, I want my future story to be all that you have purposed it to be. My friend, this morning you have a Father who loves you, who has a plan of blessing for you. And there may be those of you that just want, as a sense of dedication afresh this morning, to say, Lord, I just want to say afresh, I want to be all, Father, that you've called me to be. Help me to make those right decisions each day, each month, each year in my life that will mean that I will walk in that wonderful plan and blessing. So if you identify with one or both of those things, particularly this morning, I'm just going to ask you for a brief moment just to lift your hand in the air whilst I pray. Just hold it there. It can be just up to your shoulder if you don't want to get arm ache. But just lift it up to say there are things, you know, past, or just want to dedicate myself afresh going forwards to the future. Our Father, as we lift our hands before you now, I pray for those here who are saying the things of the past story that they want to let go of this morning. They want to know your forgiveness for, Father. Or they want to know that freedom of place of forgiving others. They want to be set free from being overshadowed by the past in some shape or form. And I pray in the name of Jesus this morning for the breaking of the works of the enemy, the curse of the enemy, of unforgiveness, of hurt, even hatred of self because of their own mistakes. And Lord, I pray that you will flood their hearts with forgiveness for themselves, forgiveness for others, and that you will break the power of any of those negative historical things, their background or mistakes they've made on the journey. And Lord, set them free, I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift our hands before you to say this morning, we want to be all that you have called us to be. We believe we can be all that you've called us to be. Not just anything, but we can be. We can reach the potential that you've called us to reach. And that's exactly what we want to be. And so, Lord, we lift our hands and we say to you afresh this morning, Father, empower me, empower my friends here, I pray, to be all that you've called them to be. Help them, Lord, to make those right decisions today, tomorrow, next month, next year. That will determine their unfolding story. Father, I just thank you that you've got a great story yet to be finished for every one of us here. A great story for this church yet to be unfinished. A great story yet for this nation, for this community. And Lord, we say we want to be a part and we want to press forward. And as we think about sharing the good news with others, Lord, we want to pray that many more people in this community who feel that their story is one of sadness and heaviness will find Christ and find forgiveness and freedom and a glorious hope for the future of their story. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.